Hey, everybody, welcome back into the show. This is the second segment of Your Defending Fathers with Trucker Randy Bishop here on the Patriot Voice Radio Network this Friday, December 26th. Joining us on the line right now is my personal endorsed candidate for Secretary of State, Monica Yatuma, is on the line. Good morning, Monica.
Good morning, Randy. It's great to be here with you.
Yes, and how was your Christmas?
It was wonderful. It was much needed. I got to spend some time with the husband and the kids, which was so nice because, as you know, being on the campaign trail keeps you very busy. So it was nice to be home with them and spend Christmas with them.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we appreciate you coming on today. Monica, when we last spoke last Friday, we started basically talking about your new administration. If you win the nominating endorsement at the state convention March 28th down in Novi, you go on to win in November to be the next Secretary of State. We talked a little bit about your vision for changing the election process as far as the equipment, the software, the type of machines we have here in Michigan. And you have one particular issue with Dominion. Some of the folks, my Antrim County, for example, they have Dominion equipment here. What is your issue primarily with Dominion and other, you know, the Hart, ES&S machines, equipment? What's your overall problem or issue with the current voting systems?
Yeah, so I want to be specific that we're talking about tabulators, not actual voting machines. And so the issue with these tabulators, especially Dominion, Dominion uses foreign components, and that's a problem for me. It's a problem for a lot of people. But also, we have state law that says that these tabulators are not supposed to be using any kind of foreign components, and if they are, that's illegal. So right there, right off the bat, Dominion's already breaking the law. Some of the other issues that we see with these machines is that the security logs are not being turned on and enforced. So if we would just turn them on, we could see who's accessing the machines and when they're accessing them, and we can see exactly what they're doing and when they're doing it. The other issue, too, is as I've talked to different cybersecurity experts, across the state, this seems to be an issue. A lot of clerks are not changing the login information on these machines. And so they've gone maybe 5, 6, 7 election cycles with the same login information. So just imagine the number of people, the turnover that have access to these machines coming in and out, right? That's a problem, too. So you pair that with the transaction log not being turned on. We have no idea who's going into these machines and what they're doing. The other issue is there's just a huge lack of transparency. These machines have a closed source firmware. So, for example, if we wanted to FOIA the information inside of these machines, we can't because it's closed source. But if we could change that to an open source firmware, then we can FOIA these machines and get that information and make sure that these machines are abiding by the state and federal standards and statutes that they're supposed to be abiding by.
And, you know, that is an issue that I've spoken with Patrick Kobeck before. He's been on my show. And one of the biggest things he's concerned about as well is called chain of custody.
Yeah.
And explain that to the audience from your understanding. What is chain of custody and why is it so critically important that we know exactly the chain of custody of these ballots and the tabulator equipment's tabulator tapes and the disk, all the information and why it's so important?
So unfortunately right now, Randy, our chain of custody has been weakened by our current Secretary of State, and that's because it's not being enforced and the chain of custody has not been strong or strict. And essentially, just to break it down for someone to understand, your average voter, chain of custody is just whose hands is it going through, in what order, and what's happening at every handoff. Who last touched those ballots and did something change from the last time they were touched to the next person they made it to, right? So whether it's the person working at the polls, going to, you know, from an election worker to the postal board or going to the counting board, we need to know who's touching them, when they're touching them, what they're doing when they're touching them. So we need strict chain of custody, strict standards on that. They need to be consistently enforced, but they need to be documented, logged, and timestamped at every single handoff. So if the chain of custody is ever broken, we can dissect directly where it broke and see who touched it last and what happened.
Now, why I still have this nagging question, why do our election laws, why are they written in such a way, from what I understand, Detroit, Wayne County,
sure,
if they can't be certified, therefore they can't be counted, they can't be recounted, they can't even do an audit. And for some reason, I think a lot of it has to do, Monica, with chain of custody. Am I wrong in that assumption?
I don't think you are. I think you're right.
What can we do about it?
Well, I think we need to hold, we need to set the bar higher than where it's at right now, but especially for Detroit, where we see a lot of the discrepancies coming from. So technically, ballot harvesting is illegal, but there is law that does allow for Detroit to use runners to go and grab ballots and drop them off at ballot drop boxes. Why Detroit gets this special treatment, I don't know, and I don't understand. But these are some of the things that need to change. And I would love to say that as Secretary of State, I'm going to get in there and do that. However, for something like this, I will need to work with state legislature. And I can tell you that that's a top priority for me.
Well, one of the things that everybody talks about, it seems like almost every candidate, I don't care if it's, you know, U.S. Senate candidates or U.S. Congress, everybody talks about election integrity. It's like something that's a talking point. But right. as Secretary of State, this is right in your wheelhouse. This is exactly what you're going to be responsible for.
Yep.
Do you think that if you're able to prevail at the nominating endorsement convention, which thank God it's early this coming year, March 28th, do you think you're going to actually be able to be out there talking to some of these candidates yourself, vetting them, and actually saying, guys, this is an important issue that when I become Secretary of State, I need you to change the laws in the House, the Senate, and the next governor to sign. Is that something you're planning on your strategy as part of your campaign?
Yes, absolutely. And I can tell you, Randy, I'm already having those conversations with people in the state legislature right now that are directly tied into election integrity. It's difficult to do anything because it's divided government right now. But I've been having these conversations already because I am going to need help. There's only so much I can do as Secretary of State. But when it comes to law or amending law or making law, I need the state legislature and I need to be able to work with them. And any of these candidates that make it across the finish line in the general election, I think going into after we hopefully win in 26, I think immediately election integrity needs to be a top priority. And we need to clean it up, starting with the voter rolls and the absentee ballots, so that going into 28, we can run a secure and transparent election.
Well, you know, that's something that's interesting because my wife, Victoria Bishop, got elected last year, November 24. And that's what she's doing right now this year, which is basically a non-election year. Because heading into 26, the midterms, it's important. So what you're saying, you get elected in November of 26, you're going to start cleaning house in 27 to get ready the qualified voter files for the 28 election.
Yep, absolutely. That includes cleaning up, you know, census data. The redistricting falls under the next Secretary of State. We're going to ensure that that's done fairly and equally. So all these different things that fall under the Secretary of State purview that will help us to ensure that the election is run, again, securely and transparently for 28. These are all going to be a top priority on day one in my administration.
Now, just to kind of wrap things up here, as we've been through the holidays, you've been out on the campaign trail already. You've been going to a lot of events around the state, Christmas parties, all the things that you've done.
Sure.
What's the plan now that we're past Christmas? We're heading into New Year's this next Thursday. What's the plan then? How soon do you plan to start actively going around perhaps county by county, region by region, heading into the March 28th convention?
Well, I'm already doing that right now. I'm all over the state. I'm in a different city every day, in a different county every day, with a different district every day. And that's my main priority, is talking to all these delegates, because I have a delegate convention, as you know, on March 28th. And my goal is to earn their support and ultimately earn their vote. So I'm doing that every day.
Every single day. And again, folks, just for clarification, the general public will not be voting for our candidates as far as who gets to represent the party. This is going to be done by the precinct delegates that are selected at the county conventions in March to go down to Novi and vote at the state convention there on March 29th. So basically, you're not really engaging the general public at this point.
Not quite yet. Right now, it's directly to delegates.
Delegates and delegates that you already know, because we were elected in 2024. You already have that list.
Absolutely. And I'm a delegate myself, so I'm familiar with quite a bit of the delegates across the state.
Sure, the process itself. Last question. To be at the nominating convention, are you required to get so many signatures from, like, district chairs, party leaders, What's that process, just to kind of wrap things up here a little bit?
So that process is to get a minimum of 4 district chair signatures, and I'm happy to report that all 13 signed for me, which was nice. The other thing is State Party, unfortunately, did not have the funds to put on this convention, so they're charging candidates. So the other thing I had to do was pay $10,000 to have my name on the ballot during the state convention. So it's a minimum of 4 signatures. I got all 13, and then I have to pay $10,000 to the party, and then now I'm on the ballot.
So in that vein, are you seeking donations from the public to help fund that $10,000 fee?
Oh, absolutely. It's never enough. There's so much that we have to do. There's travel costs, outreach costs, and these costs just to get on the ballot. So, yes, absolutely. Always looking for donations if anybody feels, gracious enough to want to donate.
Well, the best way to do that, of course, is to go to your campaign website. They can see your picture. You have a nice video there when you launched your campaign. You got pictures of the family. You've got some platform issues there, but you also have a donation button.
I sure do. I have a donation button and an endorse button for anybody that wants to endorse.
Okay, very good. Go ahead and give out that that website, Monica, and we'll let you get going for today.
Yeah, so that website is www.monicaformichigan.com, and it's all spelled out. And Randy, I want to wish you and all your listeners a happy and a prosperous new year.
You as well, Monica, and say hey to the family. Tell Randy. Randy said hey.
Yeah, I will do that. Thank you so much.
All right. You have safe time, safe travels out there. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. See ya.
Thank you. So, again, that's Monica Yatuma, and her website is Monica, or F-O-R, Michigan.com. And I highly recommend that you check out her video. Her launch video that is on the website right there. Pretty interesting how she goes after the current Secretary of State, Jocelyn Benson, and lays things out as to how she, of course, is going to do things completely different. And what I really like the most about her website is securing elections in Michigan, and goes into detail for qualified voter files, election integrity, looking at these machines, and making some changes, again, like she said in the interview, working with the legislature. She's going to have to get some things done in the House, the Senate, and hopefully signed by a Republican governor next term when they get into office January of 2027. Final segment of hour number one, short break. We'll be right back.
This is Justin Michael. From day one, our campaign has been about one thing: people, the families, workers, veterans, small business owners, and communities that make Northern Michigan and the Upper Peninsula home. I'm running because too many people in Washington have forgotten who they serve. I've spent my life advocating for others, listening to their stories, and fighting for solutions that put people first. Our district deserves a representative who shows up, cares, and follows through on what they say they're going to do. It's time to start putting Americans first and Michigan's first. Paid for by Justin Michael for Congress.
A book by Rick Randall, Road Trip, the Good Words book for success. Good words that both young and old alike need to add to their vocabulary to impact their thoughts, emotions, behavior, and ultimately their reality in life. Road Trip's Good Words, Positive Thinking, and Daily Pep Talk will improve your attitude, impress everyone you come in contact with, and lead to a better, happier, more fulfilling life. Get your copy at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever books are sold. Pass the positive. Road Trip, the Good Words book by Rick Randall.
Maybe you're looking to sell an old firearm that's been sitting around the house just collecting dust. Or maybe you've been thinking it's time to upgrade to a newer model or caliber. Either way, the place to go is Curtis Gunsmith in Impetoskey. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, they buy and sell pretty much anything that goes boom when you pull the trigger. Except rocket launchers, they don't buy or sell those. So if you're looking for a new firearm or just want to sell old Betsy, you're sure to get a fair price and friendly service to boot at Curtis Gunsmith in Impetoskey.
Hi, this is Ian Murphy from the Iron Pig Smokehouse in downtown Gaylord. Join me every Tuesday at 10 a.m. with Trucker Randy for an update on all things happening at the Iron Pig. We're open 7 days a week and serving breakfast Saturdays and Sundays. You can order online anytime for takeout, curbside, and delivery at ironpigsmoke.com. And be sure to keep up with our legal battle against the health department by subscribing to our podcast at FuelCastTV.com.
The Sioux Animal Hospital in Sioux St. Marie has been in the same location for 35 years. The owner, Dr. Jeff, specializes in providing all aspects of care for your animals. From annual shots to complicated bone and soft tissue surgeries, Dr. Jeff can take care of any animal. So call him today at 906-635-5910. From dogs and cats to cows and horses, Dr. Jeff loves them all. So give him a call at 906-635-5910.
I'm Justin Michael. I come from more than a century of Republican heritage, a family that has served this country, this state, and our communities with integrity and conviction. My great-grandfather, Edward C. Morrison, served Michigan in the State House as a proud Republican, and that legacy lives in me today. I'm a strong Republican, a combat veteran, and a constitutional conservative, and I believe in limited government, fiscal responsibility, and secure borders. Our district deserves a representative who won't bend, won't break, and won't play political games. Paid for by Justin Michael for Congress.
Hey, everybody, welcome back into the show. Final segment of hour number one. Got a couple of text messages from some listeners who are precinct delegates. They didn't realize that the state convention endorsement convention is going to be that early this year, 2026, March 28th, Saturday, March 28th, down in Novi, Michigan. Again, this is going to work after the county conventions, probably a couple of weeks ahead of time, at least, I would think, the week of probably March 9th through Friday the 13th of March. County conventions will be held. You'll get a call to convention mailed to your house if you're a duly elected precinct delegate, and you will be asked to attend a county convention. As a precinct delegate, that is your only obligation. Your only obligation is to attend a county convention when called. Everybody gets together in your county and then decide who gets to be the voting delegates to represent your county at the state endorsement convention. Now, this is being done early this year, different than what we've done in the past. Normally, August primaries that we have next year, that's the first Tuesday in August, elects new precinct delegates. Well, as a result of that election, it'll be on August 4th next year. Then they usually, a couple of weeks later, probably Saturday, August 22nd, hold an endorsement nominating convention. Combination of not only having candidates come up, but actually voting on and nominating the actual person. Well, 2026, the Republican Party is doing it like the Democrats have been doing it for years. They're splitting it up. Out of all the candidates running for Secretary of State, as well as Attorney General, the universities, the judges, all those folks, they will be endorsed. There will be a candidate vote to endorse one candidate for each elected seat. Then August will just be a formality. Now, the question is whether or not the endorsement convention is going to be mandatory for the delegates in August to vote for the endorsed candidate. Very good possibility that there's different delegates that will be attending the March 28th endorsement convention and different precinct delegates attending the August nominating convention. Well, the Democrats, for the last many, many, many years, they automatically nominate the person they endorsed in their earlier endorsement convention. However, this is the first time the Republicans are doing it the way the Democrats have been doing it. And honestly, I don't know if there's any way to force new elected delegates, maybe some that are there for the first time, to actually vote and nominate the person that was endorsed in March. So this is going to be very interesting to see how the Republicans handle this. And will the other candidates, this is the way we might be able to get around this, will these other candidates that don't win the March 28th endorsement convention, will they concede? When the count, the total vote is announced, will they get up and ask for unanimous consent in supporting the winner of the endorsement convention and withdrawing their name from even running? So we'll see what the rules are. We'll see how that goes. And it's going to be very interesting. But again, precinct delegates elected last year in 2024, a year ago this past August, you will be the folks getting the call to conventions in March. You will be the ones going to your county conventions and selecting the folks to go to the March 28th convention down there in Novi. So that's how that basically is going to work. And again, first time for the Republicans to do it this way. So it'll be very interesting to observe and be part of that process. So we'll see how it goes, and let's see what kind of rules there are, and are they going to ask the losers who don't get the endorsement, are they going to ask them to concede and basically withdraw from the race? Don't know if there's any election law that requires it, but the party, because this is a state party function, conventions are run by the Democrats and the Republican parties. It's their party, literally. So they get to call the shots at their convention, and let's see what the rules are. Might have to reach out to the chair, Jim Runstead, after New Year's, and have him come on and explain to us how this process is going to work. Because I know a lot of you reached out to me already and said, don't understand March endorsement convention. And again, first time the Republicans are doing it, so we'll see how that goes. Got an interesting history lesson to talk with Pastor Chatfield in the next hour. We're going to take a top of the hour news break, short break. We'll be right back.
Thank you for listening to your Defending Fathers with Trucker Randy Bishop.
And now this from Northern Michigan RV.
Hi, I'm Tony Kessering from Northern Michigan RV in Galen. Get ready for a new adventure with help from Northern Michigan RV. We sell everything from pop-ups and truck campers to luxury fifth wheels, and we have everything to keep you going, including parts, full service, and even propane. And we're open year-round. Don't buy anywhere before stopping into Northern Michigan RV. Off 32 on Expressway Court behind Walgreens and Gaylord. Online at northernmichiganrv.com. Get ready for a new adventure at Northern Michigan RV.
Trucker Randy here. Let's face it, we're all getting older, but we don't have to feel the pains of getting older. Most people, and even